Basketball fans, welcome back to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast. He's Marshall. I'm Chris, and we're here to talk what's left of this series. It does kind of feel like it's going to go Game 7. Of course, my co-host, who's a longtime Warrior fan, hopes it's over in 6. But either way, Game 6, Game 7, you got to love when the series gets extended. And already, the Golden State Warriors have had 2 must-win games. Obviously, Game 2, you can't go down 0-2, right, with the home court advantage at the time. And then you really can't go down 3-1 with Game 6 in Boston. So they stepped up. It's really been, well, 2-2. It's been those both games have been key down the stretch in the fourth quarter. These games have been basically won in the fourth quarter, maybe not deep in the fourth quarter like this Game 4 was, but that's basically where where it was all figured out. And that's, as a boxing fan, Jesus Christ, as a basketball fan, you're happy with it. So we'll, just because Game 4 is somewhat the freshest, we'll start with that. But then we will talk a little Game 3 and just notes and preview and predict the next few games as well. Obviously, we're doing it on Sunday because there is a Monday game. And there's really no point in talking all this stuff before the game if, you know, we get off, upload the show, and boom, all of a sudden, the game starts. So we figure we do it on Sunday. So it's Monday, Thursday, and then next Sunday, if needed. Game 6. So we'll definitely get this thing started here in just a second. If this is your first time listening to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast, welcome. Thanks for listening. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to blogtalk and ropeadope, though, if you don't want to, and download the show directly there. You can find this year NBA podcast under the Ropeadope Radio Podcast on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spreaker, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Google Podcast. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. And one more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called DirecTV Stream for a limited time. Let me repeat that. A limited time. They're offering $30 off the initial price, where it starts at $69.99 a month. For 2 months, it'll be $54.99. And if you upgrade to the Choice or Ultimate package, that's a 3-month value, $160 worth of savings, and it'll come with HBO Max, Showtime, Stars, Cinemax. Like I said, that's $140 you're saving. That's DirecTV Stream. Like I said, these offers are limited time only, so you gotta get on it. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and bring in my co-host, who's gotta be happy as hell. His squad pulled out Game 4, which, let's be honest, it was a must-win.
It was. You never, ever want to give up, but it would have been a very, very difficult situation if they had lost Game 4. But the team of veterans that, again, a lot of people pretty much had given up on after Game 3 in the media. Because, I mean, the media darlings are the Celtics, and that's been everyone's pick, but it's not done yet. I think that's kind of my theme for the podcast is Boston
has had.
It's
been for the whole playoffs.
Yeah, they've been in love with Boston, and they probably have a better, younger team on paper and, like, on sabermetrics. But the thing we were talking about before the show is that the sabermetrics don't equate for teams who've been there before, a head coach who's been there before. Still, I don't care how old the guys are, until Curry and Klay Thompson retire, they're still two of the best shooters of all time, probably the best shooting backcourt of all time from three. And, you know, they might not put up stud numbers every night, but on a given night, they can still go off. So I feel that, and I know that is kind of nowadays sport media, where there is always that instant reaction after a game, and then you kind of will flip-flop another way after the next one, you know. But again,
we do that here on the podcast. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Sure. I think the it's been a little over the top, I think, for Boston, but you know, people, I mean, but if that's the pick and that's who people think, like, to each their own, you know. But again, a veteran team. Game four was, again, a huge difference. A trend we've noticed in every game of the series so far, again, was the third quarter. The Warriors have now won the third quarter four games in a row. And when you look at the score, which was pretty much a close, it was pretty much a close game throughout the entire game. Warriors 30, Celtics 24 in the third quarter. If you're a Boston fan, man, you probably, like, at halftime, Chris, it's like, all right, I'm going to go make a run. I'm going to do something else. Like, let me just kind of fast forward. Cause for whatever reason, the adjustments or whatever's been said, that really has been a huge advantage. And that third quarter carried into a fourth quarter. But again, I guess I'm a little just surprised, Chris, and I'll give my team credit, but you would assume one of these quarters, like, Boston would win a third quarter. Like, are you just kind of baffled that too? Like, I know Curry's, they've done forever and the adjustments or whatnot, but Boston still has yet to even come close to winning a fourth quarter, just looking at the stats.
Well, I mean, 30 to 24 is not too disastrous. That's pretty close. I mean,
no.
It's not like the other ones where it's been like 38 to, you know. Sure. I think it's the fourth quarter was 28 to 19. You got me looking at that one going, huh, that's more of the quarter in this one, to be honest with you. I mean, even mid, you know, a difference in this one, Marshall, was it literally the first like 3 to 5 minutes, it's like, okay, whatever lead you have, that's gone. You know, usually that's the case, right? But this one was different. Midway through, Boston came out aggressive. They were driving to the rack. They were getting close to the hoop and be able to fade away and make tough shots. And they were up 68-63 halfway. And then all of a sudden by the end, I think it was 79-78 Golden State. So this last third quarter, I don't really think that's all that. 30 to 24, they got into the 20s. They didn't get 38 on them or whatever it's been. I wonder what the average score has been. We should do that. But so this time, I don't think it was as bad, to be honest with you. And it wasn't like they had a big lead at half or something. They weren't up by 14 or nothing at half. So to me, this third quarter, wasn't all that bad. It was that 28 to 19 fourth quarter, I think, that eventually did it. And even midway through at the set, I marked it down. And this was a grinded out fourth quarter, by the way. I mean, they won it by 9 points, but still 28 nowadays is like, you should get to 25 or 28, you know, fairly, if you're going to win a quarter, that should be pretty much what you should be able to do. But, you know, I noticed that 79-78, I talked about that at the end of the third, but then 86-86 at the 7:50 mark, Boston goes on a little run, not even a minute, just short of a minute, they're up 91-86. Then Clay hits a nice three. I think that was the three that made him call a timeout with 4:24, 95-94, then 97-94. And Marshall, it seemed like it was just stuck on 97-94. I know it wasn't like 5 minutes, but it just felt like that. And that's where the game was won. Boston had about three or four possessions where they had open shots. We talked about this too. Smart had two open threes on the same possession. They couldn't get it done. They had their chance to tie and possibly even go up if you look at those three to four straight possessions of getting the ball and not having Curry go off or anything. But right when they missed that comeback under 2 minutes, boom, Curry hits a three. It's 194. And when it's been a low scoring, you know, half like that or quarter like that, it just feels like the game's over. And eventually, I mean, shit, there was only 5 points in the last 2 minutes anyway, 102-97, or once it hit the under two mark, I should say, it did spread out after that because they won, what was it, 5 more points, I think. Down the stretch, the last 6 minutes is where the game was won, and Curry and Clay hit some big threes, and Boston missed their shots, but they were wide open, a lot of them.
Yeah, some were wide open. I did think that Clay played some defense that people had thought he'd kind of lost. There was a couple of possessions I remember where again, I'm not saying he's back to his old self, but he was playing some pretty good man defense, which we hadn't seen as many glimpses of for the past few weeks. And again, Draymond, he's being laughed at. Oh, he's doing a podcast, giving away tips to Boston, and he can't shoot the ball. And he's not confident, and all that stuff is true. But the defensive side that guy offers is still a stat that can cancel or counter out some of his offensive liabilities. Like back in the day, this is a guy where if you gave him an open three, he would only hit a couple a game. And clearly that shot's not there right now.
Or he'd take it right away without thinking.
Yeah. And that confidence has been shot. He even had a shot that kind of reminds me of like when I, you know, like one of those, like he was right near the basket, did like kind of those one hand little floaters and it like airballed it. You know, it's just, he's not in rhythm shooting, but he still is a defensive, plus he's been getting in Boston's head. Like he's still doing his game. Obviously if he was to contribute a little more offensively, that would really help. But yeah, I just like, it's almost like the, and I'm getting a little cliche here, but it's almost like this might be one of the last runs for this team. Just to put things in perspective, I know we're talking about this year's finals, but again, for the team, they got Steph, Clay, and Draymond, and you know the peak that these guys in their prime that they're in, they're probably not gonna run this back too often, and they're probably a little bit, you know, they've had a couple of nights where they take nights off, like against Memphis, they lost by 55, and they come back home and knock them out late. It's almost like they're kind of conserving their energy for some games. I know that
they were trying to get beat by 50. Hey, let's go get beat by 55, and then we'll rest.
And I'm not saying that Steve Kerr has ever said, hey, guys, throw in the towel, we don't care. But it's like, you know.
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. And down the stretch, you saw that the pick and roll, which, and I'm not saying that Steph Curry invented this, but one thing that the Warriors did.
I would stop the podcast if you did that.
But one thing the Warriors did really well when this team was starting to emerge is that they hammered people over and over on the pick and roll of especially pretty much Draymond and Curry. Because if you left Curry open, he would hit a three. And if you left Draymond open, he would drive in or make a great pass because he's a really good point guard for a big. And that's something they'd done. And it was really hard to guard just due to the shooting. And that was, I saw glimpses of that. It just kind of gave me a flashback of like, because I mean, Curry was just waiting for Draymond. I know he did a couple times with Wiggins where.
And Looney too was setting the screen. I mean,
yeah. And Looney. So it was one of those things where does Boston have a great defense? Absolutely. They do. But that's still like that thing has got them to a lot of finals and won them a lot of games where Curry's just mastered it so well. And then when it is run properly, and unless I know Smart would occasionally cheat over the top and make it close, but 9 out of 10 times, if Curry does that properly, Curry's now twisted on a big or he's got an open three. And there really is still no defense that can stop that. And if you do work like double or triple, then you have a guy that's wide open. They've always passed the ball well. So there was a little bit of just kind of a flashback of like, hey, let's go back to, you know, I'm not Kerr, and I'm sure that this has happened throughout the playoffs, but it gave me a flashback, Chris, of kind of that, all right, pick and roll with Curry. If he's open, he's going to bust it. If he's not, he's going to make a smart pass. And as good as Boston is, there really is no still stopping of that just because they've done it for so long. It's just kind of their go-to, and it worked out for him down the stretch of game four.
Well, especially when he's hitting, you know, half of his shots from three and
yeah,
shoot 14-26. It may have been his best finals game,
mm-hmm.
Of all time. You know, that's for sure. We did talk about will they make, you know, will they go small, at least to start out the game? And they did put Otto Porter in the starting five. Now, Looney still played, you know, he only played 15 minutes. So Looney, you know, still had 11 boards between Curry, Looney, and then Wiggins. Wiggins was 7 of 17. You know, to get 17 points to shoot 17 times, you know, only two trips to the foul line, that's not really good, right? But old Wiggins would have put his head down, especially if it was like relying on you, Wiggins. But in this fit, that's why he's such a good fit here, he said, all right, we got, you know, destroyed on the boards the other night. Okay, game three, game four, I'm getting 16 boards. I thought that was huge. So, yeah, Looney, 11 boards off the bench, plus 21, plus 20 for Wiggins as well. I thought that was huge. And then a big, like, we're talking about Kerr here. And by the way, if you were Steve Kerr, I think we'd do better numbers, but that's okay. So speaking of Kerr, though, he got basically benched, you know, a little bit. He did. He got benched. I think they went 11-4 in that time. They brought him in, and he made some key plays on both sides of the ball. Either way, though, still, I think, 9 boards. And the key thing is 4 steals and 8 assists. And that's what we talked about last Monday, how, man, the facilitating part of Green is almost gone, and maybe that is because they're slagging off so far away from him because he won't be aggressive or shoot that 3. But I thought that was big to do that, to be like, you know what, Looney's our best big right now for what we need. Let's go Looney and then have more offense around it and just go with it for a little bit. Now, he did sub it in. The second part of that for Kerr was the offense for defense that early. We're not talking about the last 90 seconds of the game. I thought that was big. The starting lineup, I don't know if they'll put Looney back in. They probably will. But they were down 2-1. I mean, that kind of backtracks to what we're talking about. They did lose the first game of this series, and then we're down 2-1. So that whole, oh, people are jumping on the Boston stuff, I hear what you're saying, but they did get down 2-1. They lost 2 out of the first 3, and the first 2 were at home. So, I mean, you know, they made it to the finals, so obviously Vegas wasn't that crazy because here's Boston at 2-2 series. Could have maybe made it 3-1. So, you know, I don't know. I think it is more of we react to something, especially, you know, with Twitter and all that social media. Messages are in our head, and they're like, oh, you know what? I kind of think this is going to be the case. But I thought that was big by Kerr. And like I said, Curry, for him to get, you know, he's one of the better small dudes that can rebound. And, you know, he had 5 turnovers. That's probably the only weird thing about his game. But, you know, he was just knocking down shots, and it was big. It was really big. And like I said, Wiggins to be like, all right, you know, I'm not going to shoot well, but I'll get 16 boards. I thought that was major. And, you know, 4-10 from 3 for Thompson. Like you said, a lot of them were clutch. Even Poole came in and did pretty good from 2. On the Boston side, and we will kind of spin into game 3 as well when we're talking a little recap. You know, Tatum had a good game, 23-11-6. You know, the 6 turnovers kind of stand out and some tough shots from 2. From 3, I mean, he was 4-8. He's been money from 3. But the 2-point, you know, that has been tough. Like, to get those close enough to the hoop when you got to fade because the defense is, you know, I think we forget Boston is clearly the number one team on defense. And Golden State feels like they're clearly the number one team on offense. But Boston, with these tough shots that when they don't make them, or poor shot selection, or just, you know, missing wide open shots like Marcus Smart did down the stretch, that really hurts them. Because once it gets on the move and on the break, that's majorly, you know, in the favor of Golden State. And that stat line of per 100 possession at like 89 is what the rating is in the half court. Boston in the half court has just, it's been tough for Golden State. But as soon as they start taking bad shots or turning the ball over, which we've seen as well. Now, both teams turned the ball over a decent amount anyway in the game 4. But Tatum's got to find a way to improve from 2. Otherwise, his game's been solid. His assist game, I think that was his lowest assist game. So I think he's got to take better shots from 2. Brown has this way of, like, exploding, especially in the first quarter of these last 2 games or whatever. He's really picked it up, but then he kind of fades as well. The offense just faded in general from the stretch. And then we'll talk a little bit about it. You know, Williams the 3rd, how he's going to be, because he did, you know, kind of mess up his knee again. But the 4th quarter, you know, like I said, these 4th quarters have been really the deciders.
Yeah, and it is kind of a chess match. And there is kind of that X's and O's or back and forth, or, you know, we make adjustments and now it's just down to a best of three. The one trend that can make you think it would continue to see a size, and neither of these teams have really lost two games in a row. I don't think Boston has all playoffs. Yep. Golden State did once, so
they're 7-0 off of losing.
And if Boston wins Game 5, if they were to win Game 5 in Golden State, I think they would set the record for the most playoff road wins in a playoff season. So
would that be, you know, nine?
Is nine, yeah. Nine wins. I know. So, I mean, you can – there's – again, you can spin a lot of different ways, but you could say, okay, well, Boston's going to win Game 5 and Golden State's going to win 6 and we'll flip the coin for 7. Like, but, yeah, the fourth quarter, again, it was just – and like I was saying before the show, I think part of it just comes down to experience. Like, there – almost every team who you see goes through journeys like this where, as a fan, you're, like, thinking, like, oh, if Golden State's to win the series as a Boston fan, you're thinking, man, Game 4, we just weren't able to have those clutch shots that went in. Because Golden State was like that when they got knocked out of the playoffs by the Clippers and the Spurs, like the 2 years before they made their run to the finals. Like, every team kind of goes through those growing pains. And I think there's just something to be said for the DNA and being around, because, yes, Golden State did play some decent defense in the fourth quarter, but there was a lot of missed open shots, and those are shots that Clay and Steph were hitting, and Boston wasn't. So I'm sure down the road, if they keep this team together, Chris, this Boston team will have this experience, whether they win a ring this year or not, that, you know, will help them as they go.
I'm still hoping it's midseason and they want to trade Smart to the Timberwolves, but I don't see that happening anymore.
But as you said, the one thing to talk about Kerr and the subbing and this offense play, then I'll throw it to you as we keep moving forward here, that Boston has done a good job, obviously, of focusing on Curry and Clay and making their lives miserable. But it does seem like when they've done those pick and rolls, Boston has almost pretty much said, all right, Looney and Wiggins, if you can take us off the dribble, that we're kind of giving you that one. Because there's been a handful of, like, open dunks, or not open, but dunks and layups to where, okay, our main attention is shutting down Steph, Clay, and Poole sometimes. But if you can kind of fit in that little pass over the top, there's been quite a few Wiggins and Looney at the rim, pretty easy shots. Now, again, if you're Boston, statistically, if you're going to make Golden State make 4 good passes to get a layup compared to letting Clay or Curry shoot a 3, that's probably the smart idea. But it has kind of been the one thing I've seen where, especially in that fourth quarter, and even actually in the first half of that Game 4 too, there was quite a few high volume percentage shots they took. And that was just from, you know, okay, I'm going to swallow it and I'm going to pass the ball and I'm not going to shoot a 3. But now I got one of my bigs, or I don't know, Wiggins, kind of a mixed, taking a layup. So you're kind of taking what they give you. And I think that Golden State's done a good job of that. And that's a way to get Looney and guys like Wiggins on the stat line, maybe get a little confidence going.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think Boston, no matter who it is, needs to finish sometimes when they have layups that, sure, maybe they're contested or whatever, but they need to finish that off. I think that's been something that they need to improve on. So you didn't want to talk about anything about Game 3, huh? Like, it didn't even happen. We didn't even know about Game 3, huh?
Oh, okay. So, for Game 3, again, you had
that was the third quarter, 3.
Yeah, you had the third quarter.
68-56 at half, you know.
The third quarter, again, was obviously, you know, beneficial. It worked out in their favor again. But in the fourth quarter, man, that one was like, I mean, you want to talk about points just fell off a cliff. Like, Golden State scored 11 points. Like, that's like a high school basketball kind of thing. Like, I think in the runs they've had, I don't know if we've ever had maybe a lower scoring playoff quarter in the Warriors' history in the past 10 years, if there is one. I don't think they've ever done single digits. So that was definitely a game to forget, you may say. It's not even that foot off the pedal, but it's not Golden State.
Well, that's two fourth quarters. Remember the first game was 40-16.
Yeah, and one, if you look at it's just, I mean, Boston.
It's really a tale of two games for both teams. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It really has been. And I realize the series is tied 2-2. But it literally has been that.
And the frustrating thing for that game as a Golden State fan was Klay Thompson played really well. He had 25. Like he hit five threes, you know. So because that was one of the themes going into game three. Man, Klay's washed, and people are making fun of him because he says he watches his game six videos on YouTube to get focused. So, but he
can't. But that's
out
on
there,
him. He can't release that information.
I don't know. He's a weird guy. He probably don't give a shit. But that was weird.
He could have just said, "I go sailing," and we would have just bought it, you know.
Or he hangs out with his bulldog. Yeah, but in game three, Curry had that 7-point little half court possession play.
The 7-point possession.
The 7-point possession. But in the fourth, remember the first 3 minutes of that fourth quarter. It's like we were a different team. Like they subbed in like the JV squad. Cause fourth quarter starts, I'm like, okay, we're in the game. And then in the first, like when it went from 12 minutes to 9 minutes, I'm like, oh dude, this shit got bad quick.
Kind of that 93 to 89 at the end of the third. And then at the 907 mark, 102 to 91.
And, you know, it's kind of like that game one. It was the timing. I think game one was around like 9 to 7 minutes. So this time was 12 to nine. But, and not that it was over, but they had that quick run. You're like, oh crap, this one might be done. And And Boston, they blitzed them. And
so the way Curry was, getting off on that pick and roll in that game, they were hunting, well, especially Horford. Curry hunted Horford for sure. And like I said, it may be that they have to go with the double Williams. If the Williams the third is healthy, because he did, like we talked about that. But Curry was the one getting hunted in that fourth quarter. And at the end of it, 47 to 31 rebounds, 15 to 6. That was crazy. And Green struggled really bad down that stretch, and Williams was making an impact on both sides. Both Williams were making an impact. And another big thing for Boston, 29 assists in that game. Tatum, 9. Horford had 6. Brown and Smart both had 5. That's a lot of assists for your starting lineup. I thought that was really, really big. And it's kind of like Green, for whatever reason, the refs did let Golden State, and specifically because he's the most physical guy, Green, do what they wanted in that second game. Let's just be honest. I mean, that's not why they won the game, but that had something to do with it, because, and Green took advantage of it. He was walking right on that edge like he's great at, and I thought, you know, game two and game four, Green was played really, really well, the Green that we're used to. The physicality, like you said, getting in people's head and all that, just everything. Everything was just, it was money. But yeah, that fourth quarter, it's like two ugly fourth quarters and then an ugly, like, last 6 minutes for Boston in the other game two and game four. And that's really what this series has come down to. It's like every other game, the fourth quarter is just horrendous. And three out of the four has been horrendous for Golden State. And then three out of the four third quarters have been really bad, especially the first two. Those were like really bad for Boston. So we're right where we kind of wanted to be, looking from the outside. Of course, you didn't want to be 2-2 because you're a fan. But still, I mean, this has been fun, no doubt about it. In my gut, you know, I thought that they were going to finally lose back-to-back because, you know, I sat up in here last Monday and said, oh, game three. They're going to win back-to-back. They'll be up 2-1. I really thought that. But, you know, we were both right about the 2-2. But I did think Golden State was going to go back-to-back. I'm going to keep pounding the pavement on that one. You got to go back to the well, and the well isn't dry, obviously, because the shit hasn't happened yet. I just don't see – you know, sometimes you look at sports and go, what are the odds that's going to happen? I mean, really, how many times do we see that, right? And, of course, now I can look real silly because it's like, well, Chris, actually, you know, they could set a record of road wins. So what the fuck is wrong with you? But I'm going to – I don't know if it's maybe I'm getting older. I'm going to stand my ground here. But I'm going to say Golden State wins game 5, Boston win game 6, and then back to Golden State game 7. Still have Golden State winning, but I am wondering the Williams health. You know, we saw him struggle in game 7 against Miami, had 3 days off, got to play a game, played really good in it, and then got, like, you know, 3 days rest again. So they had that back-to-back game, and what do you know, or not back-to-back, but with only one game, what do you know, he messes up his knee again. So I'm a little irky-jerky. I remember 2 weeks ago saying, I know this sounds weird, but Williams, will it be game 6 or game 7? I don't know. But I do think they could push it to 7 if Williams is healthy. So we'll see on that. But I'll say this. If Boston does win game 5, I actually do see them going the other way, getting over the hump, and finishing out game 6 at home. Personally, I see that's how that would go. But I'm picking Golden State game 5, Boston game 6.
Oh, my fandom just wants to say Golden State 5 and 6. I don't think it's impossible. I mean, it would be a little surprising, but this is a Boston team where, looking just from their perspective, they've actually been a better road team. So if Golden State could sneak it out.
Like a far better road team.
Yeah. Sneak it out in game 5. I mean, which wouldn't be really sneaking it out, but I think if they could win, and then it wouldn't shock me for them to close out in Boston. I hope they do. I think Golden State, I'm going to take Golden State in 6. I think that Steph and Clay, they pull something out. They do it. But, I mean, who knows? You're right. Every game, it's like there's a counter. So, in theory, if we're going on the zigzag, Boston should have the counter for game 5. And it's
or at least push forth. The game 7.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'll be a little aggressive here. But I'll say Golden State in 6. Part because I just love the team. Part of it's because if they can win 5 and – Boston's got that pressure on their home court for 6. I see Golden State sneaking that out. So, nonetheless, it's been just a fun series. I mean, aside from my fandom, like we had a lot of just beatdown games after game. Pretty much the whole second, third round of NBA playoffs was really – there weren't any games that were single-digit points with, like, leads with, like, a couple minutes ago. It was kind of blowout central for – a good chunk, and at least these playoff, I know the finals, there's been a couple of games where the score is a little out of hand, but for the most part, there hasn't been
too many games. But it still was decided in the fourth. It wasn't on some, you know, up 25 or whatever. And even when they've had leads, the other teams caught up and made it a game at least, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's been fun. And I'm sure the ratings have been solid. I mean, Boston's a long historic team. Golden State's obviously been around for a minute. I would assume the TV
ratings
have been
all right. They've been all
okay.
Right. They haven't been enough. They're not as good as I thought they would, but I'm really interested to see these next two games, especially because now it's like maybe it took like the casual fan base to be like, oh shit, hold on, Boston's for real. What? You know?
Sure.
The ratings don't come out till tomorrow for Friday night games.
Oh, okay.
So I am wondering if, you know, Boston up 2-1 at home. You'd think if a casual fan's going to get interested, this would be the time to get interested, you know? So, yeah, we'll see how it closes out. I'm assuming it'll take a nice jump up just because, you know, no matter what, people are like, hey, I'll check this out, you know?
I guess my last two notes to wrap this up for me is I think that Boston – needs to just let Jaylen Brown do his thing a little bit more sometimes. Like, and again, I know his stats are good, but I feel
what's
like sometimes.
What's his thing, though? What are you talking
well,
about his thing?
I just feel like sometimes.
He'll just, like he did at the end of the game, he dribbled out of bounds. It's like, what are you doing?
I guess to me, and I'm obviously not a Celtics guy, but I feel like there's times where you're watching them play and it's either Smart has the ball or Tatum has the ball. I mean, because the way Jaylen Brown started game 3, the dude hit 3 threes in like the first 5 minutes of the game. And then he kind of just drifted away for the rest of the game. It's kind of because I think at times Tatum gets a little hero ballish and Smart in the fourth quarters has just had a very poor playoff. But it's like I guess I'm happy. But as a Warriors fan, I guess I'll be kind of nervous if Jaylen Brown just sees the ball a bit more. I know, because, I mean, the we didn't go play by play, but down the stretch of game four, the plays that stand out in your head are Horford taking a few shots, Smart taking a few, and Tatum. And I'm not saying Brown never shot the ball, but it's kind of like he sometimes maybe he's not aggressive enough for the ball, maybe he's not quite as good off the dribble as Tatum is.
That's the problem.
But
he doesn't play make that well.
I guess, yeah, it's kind
of
like
he dribbled out of bounds last night or two nights.
He has those glimpses where like, damn, like the dude's getting hot, and then he'll kind of, I don't know, it's an interesting dynamic. It is.
No, it's true, though. Yeah, it's a good point.
And for Golden State, it's like, how many you would assume there's going to be that one more dud game. Hopefully that there's two more positive ones that can this whole group of like, can they put together a couple more? Curry's been doing all he can to get that finals MVP, and Clay and Draymond are kind of just dragging along there doing their part. So it should make for a fun couple of final games. We just said there really hasn't been a massive blowout game, and I don't think there will be down the stretch until our next podcast. I think when we come on again, Chris, we're going to be able to talk about some fun, entertaining games, win or lose, whoever, what team it is. I think we're going to have games similar to what we saw a couple evenings ago. So
and you had one more point? I mean, this is going to be interesting. And another thing is, like, I think we talked about, sometimes I get confused about what we talked about right before we recorded. We've already recorded, but I'm not trying to jinx anybody, okay? I'm not trying to jinx Steph. But how much better can this fucking guy shoot?
I know.
Four games, when you look at, like, you could say, oh, Tatum, the assist, the three-pointer, but his two-point shooting's down. You know, you could point out stuff, right, about almost every player in this series, right? Maybe Williams, besides his knee, he's been playing great. Like, there's not too many guys where you can just be like, there's really no holes right now. Like I said, five turnovers the other night. Okay, but he took 27 shots. So, he got the ball a lot.
Yeah.
So, and in that half court, they've made it so goddamn hard for him. Like we talked about earlier, or actually last week, is how hard he has to work sometimes to get a shot. And it was smart to have Looney and all those guys in Porter, too. Really setting great screens, no doubt about it. They've always been good at movement screens. Just everything. But like I said, no jinx here. I'm knocking on wood for you. You hear it. Okay? But, is the 8 for 22 night coming? Jesus Christ. He's really, the bitterness in him, and it's a good bitterness, of not winning the MVP is like, no, fuck this. I'm just going to have great shooting nights the whole series. That way you can't. I'll get the MVP, period. Because I hate to say it, but if this thing goes to game seven, the next one out of three games, there's got to be an 8 for 22 in a 4 for 13 or some shit like that. Because the first four games of this finals, we have a lot of historical, facts to, we could bring up right now because he's played so many damn finals games. And it's natural. It's natural to have a bad shooting night. It's what you do, I'll get 10 boards like he did even on a great shooting night. It's just, to me, that's in the back of my head, too. I'm just like, is he going to have an off night? And in that night, who is going to go for 28? Is it going to be Clay? Is it going to be Wiggins? Is it going to be Looney? Sorry. But Poole dropped 38 or some shit like that. All those things could happen, but I'm just wondering, when is that going to be the time? Because he's going to need help from other guys more than just, oh, I had 18. Well, that's awesome, but tonight they need 28. So I'm still wondering. He's getting an all-purpose effort, right? So he's not doing the whole doing it alone. I don't think that's true.
No.
But as far as scoring, it's pretty fucking close to that right now. It's real close to that. So, and that's the beauty of why Wiggins also fits so well, because they don't ask them to score a whole lot. And some nights he will, but it's really like, hey, man, focus on these things. And like I said, to get 16 boards from, you know, your small forward, that's pretty fucking good. But, yeah, I'm just wondering. No jinx, but I'm just wondering, when will this stop? Will it be – will it take to next year playoffs for the guy to miss some shots? I don't know. But I'm just wondering if that – I don't want to see that happen, but when, if it were to happen, that's where I really want to see those other players. Because scoring, you know. I can go for 30 tonight, you know, that type of thing. That's all I got for you. Didn't want to end on a bummer note, you know what I mean? Actually, it's not really because I just gave him a bunch of props too because his shooting is just – it's unreal right now. Considering how many shots he takes too, it's not like he's taking – you know, 16 shots a game or something. That's a little different to be efficient there. This dude's being efficient, taking a bunch of shots too, dude. And shots his team needs, you know.
On that note, again, we got a game tomorrow night, which should be a lot of fun. I wish we'd go back to Oracle. I've heard throughout the whole playoffs this place isn't quite the same. You got the blue collar Oakland fans, and now you got
because Boston is more like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's almost like their own players can't handle how nuts it is in there. They're like, "Holy shit, dude! These guys are psychos."
Yeah, it'd be nice to go back to Oracle with those blue collar Oakland fans, but so be it. I'm sure those people will be cheering and watching right across the bay. So until then, we will be back. We will be talking about hopefully some Golden State victories with an S on the end.
Next Monday, it'll be done.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
The boys are out. Have a good one. Enjoy this warm summer heat. Maybe a cold beer or margarita. We're out tonight. Peace.